This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, September 16th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. A Michael Jordan game-worn jersey has set a new record at auction. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the latest reading of consumer sentiment leads today's numbers. While the CEO of FedEx has some dire words about the global economy, we're joined by Gus Fauché, chief economist, PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Let's talk about the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, which has been down in the dumps all year long, posting some numbers that were last seen during the Great Recession. Is this survey number driven entirely by gas prices?
Some of it is gas prices. The fact that they have fallen in recent months has pushed the index up from June. Some of it's a very strong labor market. So we have an unemployment rate that remains below 4%. We have good job growth. We have solid wage growth. And so I think it's a reflection both of lower gasoline prices over the past few months, but also strong job gains.
And there have been some questions about the reliability of the survey, especially since now it seems like there's kind of a partisan bias introduced into the numbers, that if there is a Democrat in the White House, Republicans are more likely to say the economy is in the dumps and vice versa. But despite all of that, is this still kind of a leading indicator as far as where the economy is going?
To some extent, but it's also kind of a lagging indicator in terms of it reflects what consumers are actually seeing in their lives rather than what they think is going to happen. It's also true that there is that partisan bent to it, but I would pay more attention to what consumers are actually doing rather than what they're saying. So we saw growth in retail sales August, that looked better. And so I think it is the case that I'm more focused on what consumers are actually doing with their money rather than what they're saying.
The market has been in the doldrums, the stock market, basically all week long. And today's sell-off is driven by some comments from the CEO of FedEx, who has some dire words about the global economy after an earnings miss yesterday. Is this a sign that the economy is slowing down, the fact that fewer people are shipping packages, or is this just a reflection that people shipped and bought several years worth of merchandise during the pandemic, and now they are shifting over to services?
It's some of that, but I do think that we are seeing a significant slowing in the global economy, more so in Europe, more so in China than in the United States. But obviously in Europe, they continue to deal with the fallout from the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the high energy prices, the concern that we could see energy shortages in Europe this winter. And so I think it is a reflection of real economic conditions. It's not just the stuff that people bought ahead. There is some of that. But certainly, I think for the U.S. economy, softness in Europe and outright recession in Europe later this year, that's a big downside risk.
And then lastly, how resilient is the American economy? How sheltered is the American economy, especially if the rest of the world goes into a steep economic downturn?
The U.S. has some protection from that. Obviously, a lot of our demand comes from within the United States. But I would think that if we got a very severe global recession, that could push the U.S. economy into a mild recession. I don't think that's the baseline outlook, but that potential is out there. And we do have the potential for a very severe downturn, particularly in Europe this winter.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up, a piece of Chicago-related sports memorabilia brings in over $10 million.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A jersey worn by basketball star Michael Jordan during the last dance season of his NBA career is sold for a record $10.1 million at auction in New York. We welcome in Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics, based in New York. Stephen, thanks for joining us today. This was the jersey that Michael Jordan wore during Game 1 of the NBA Finals in 1998 against the Utah Jazz. The Bulls lost that game, but MJ dropped 33 points on Stockton and Malone way back when, and it's still worth a lot of money. And Stephen, the $10.1 million, this blows away the previous record set for a piece of Michael Jordan memorabilia.
Oh, it is a staggering item to have come up for auction, for sure. There are basically no people in the basketball game that really do rank in terms of the impact that Michael Jordan has had. And this is such a pivotal moment in his career. And there are so many collectors around the world who are in the world, U.S., China, name it, that would love to be able to own this. You have one jersey. It creates a lot of interest because it's a one-of-a-kind piece. In the world of sports, it really takes a lot of years to figure out who the greatest is. Baseball, you'll say it's Babe Ruth. And in basketball, you would say it's Michael Jordan. So he's become greater than a basketball player. If you really compare it to the value of, let's say, a LeBron James, there really isn't any comparison. It is iconic. And not that many pieces qualify for that label iconic. But this one certainly does. And it was promoted in a brilliant way. And it created a frenzy. The price is staggering, but the piece is staggering. So I think those two things probably match up quite well.
And in previous conversations, you've mentioned that the collector's market has really been supercharged by a new generation of wealthy buyers. Who are these nouveau riches who are coming in and setting the collector's market on fire?
Well, I think that because money it around the world is kind of being printed at blinding rates, people look at physical items, special physical items, alternative assets in a very different way than maybe they looked at it 10 years ago. So they look at $10 million in cash versus this item, and they go, I've got to choose one, but I can't have both. And they will go, you know what? I'm going to hold this physical item because this may be a better place to put that money than the $10 million sitting in a bank account. That's not even considering that this item probably went to a collector who absolutely adores Michael Jordan. He might have a special shrine in his room dedicated to Michael Jordan. So it's possible that somebody looked at this as a smart purchase, a smart asset to buy. It also may have gone to somebody who has an emotional attachment. It's the emotional attachment combined with the iconic nature of this that really drives the price. And it doesn't happen that often. But sometimes lightning strikes. Michael Jordan jersey selling for $1 million 10 years ago was even unheard of. It might have been $60,000, $70,000. But because it was in the HBO special, because it was that jersey that he wore in Game 1 of those finals, it represents kind of the pinnacle for a Jordan collector.
And then lastly,
and
very quickly, this also seems to hammer home the fact that Michael Jordan and the 1990s Bulls really were a global phenomenon. The fact that MJ can fetch this type of price and LeBron cannot, or Kobe Bryant cannot, or even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Well, I will say that the community of basketball fans usually places one person at its top. Baseball fans as well, football fans as well. And I think when the dust settles, and I think it may have already settled, I think people look at Michael Jordan not just in terms of the impact of his game on the court, but I think they look at it as the impact of him as a person, the impact, let's say, in the Nike sneaker market. So it really goes a little bit beyond just the quality of his play, which was obviously, you know, superior. But an item like this is iconic, where another jersey of like LeBron James, even from a significant game, just wouldn't have that type of frenzy that a Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the Babe Ruth of basketball, and that's kind of not in dispute.
Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics, based in New York. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up next, Uber falls victim to a hacker. Uber is acknowledging that a hacker breached its network. We're joined by Jerry Irvine, CIO, Prescient Solutions, and members of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force, based in Chicago. Jerry, thanks for joining us today. The hacker goes by the name of Teapot. He may be 18 years old. And Jerry, the question that I have in trying to read this story is that was this particular hacker, is he the so-called white hat hacker, the person who shows up to tell you what your vulnerabilities are, or was he working for a security company?
No, he was doing this on his own. And really, we couldn't call him a white hat hacker because he did not get permission to do the hack. He actually was doing it, as they say, for the lulz, for the fun of it, right? And he basically was able to either send an email or some type of social engineering to a person in the IT department, it seems, the incident response team, and was able to get access to their VPN of the internal network. Once he got into the internal network, he just started looking into different files and was able to find a script that had hard-coded administrative rights and passwords and everything right in it. So he was able to, once he got in there, to get absolutely everything that was accessible from the Uber systems.
And it sounds like, and this is the lesson for corporate America and pretty much every business, that the more applications exist to allow us to work remotely and collaborate remotely. On the security side of things, that means it's more points of entry for somebody who wants to get in.
That's absolutely the case. The other issue, though, with this is that they have their user IDs and passwords hard-coded into a script. You should never do that, right? It should always be a requirement that those have to be entered. And you would go, okay, you know, I get it, if this were the first time. But this happened to them previously in 2016, where hackers were able to get into a collection of their code that also had user IDs and passwords hard-coded into them. And as a result, 57 million people's personally identifiable information was stolen. They were unlucky that this 18-year-old kid, who, you know, is doing them a favor by telling them this hack exists, didn't do that back in 2016.
Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force, based in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Still ahead in Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago construction company with a global reach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A Chicago police officer and a Chicago police sergeant face felony charges for an on-duty shooting. People in line to pay respects to Queen Elizabeth could spend more than a day waiting for the opportunity. Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the founder of a Chicago company specializing in building enclosures that's expanded overseas, and a Dutch hotel chain is set to open a location in downtown Chicago. WBBM Business, the markets are lower. The Dow is down 340 points. The NASDAQ is down 199. The S&P 500 is down 54. The AccuWeather forecast for today: sunny and warmer, high today of 85, 79 degrees right now under partly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, two members of the Chicago Police Department faced charges for an incident in July when a bystander was wounded during a shootout with a group of masked suspects in the Pilsen neighborhood. Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox details the charges against 43-year-old Sergeant Christopher Leakopoulos and 42-year-old Officer Ruben Reynoso in the July incident.
The first, aggravated battery with a firearm, which is a Class X. The aggravated discharge of a firearm, which is a Class 1. And official misconduct, which is a Class 3. These felonies are punishable by up to 30 years in prison.
Fox says the 23-year-old man who was shot did not have a gun, and video shows police were not fired upon first, contradicting what officers told prosecutors. Demand to view the coffin of Queen Elizabeth is so great that the UK government is temporarily preventing people from joining the long line.
When the lines reached 5 miles in length and the wait to walk past the Queen's coffin reached more than 14 hours, officials here in London put things on hold, a temporary pause preventing anyone else from joining the line. These two women were 2 minutes too late.
Queue to get into
Absolutely.
The queue. Yes, it seems that way. We're still smiling. Yeah.
And with the weekend approaching, the crowds are likely to get even larger. Steve Futterman, CBS News, London.
It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are in the red. We're joined by Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital, based in Chicago. Jack, thanks for joining us today. When it comes to the stock market sell-off, the hits just keep on coming. And the latest one was the revised guidance from FedEx, along with some ominous comments from the company's CEO about the state of the economy. When it comes to FedEx, is their package shipping activity the canary in the FedEx box, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, Rob... It's a barometer of global manufacturing and shipping, and they're a big logistics company, and its stock is down a whopping 22% today. So it definitely sent a lot of surprises around Wall Street.
Is this a flashing red light about the state of the world economy or the state of the American economy?
Yeah, that's a good question. The CEO really pointed to Europe and Asia, most notably China, been locked down for a lot of the most recent COVID outbreaks. And I think that less so in the U.S., although they are sidelining some planes, they're reducing hours of their employees and closing several stores, worldwide. But I think it's more on the global economy than it is on the U.S. economy right now.
Is today's market activity a reflection of the concerns about the global economy brought forth by FedEx, or is this going to be a case of the sell-off continuing until the Fed has its meeting next week?
That is a good question. You know, if I'm reading the tea leaves here, it does look more like a global growth story. When we started earlier today, FedEx was off, but bond yields were higher, which would suggest perhaps that investors were looking toward the Fed. Now yields have turned around and they're headed a little bit lower. We're also seeing consumer staple stocks generally outperforming and the more economically sensitive stocks trailing. So I think it's really more of an economic growth story today than it is about the Fed.
At the same time, the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index ticked up to its highest number in a little over a year. Is that merely a reflection of gas prices going down because that's the way most Americans perceive and interact with the economy?
I think so, Rob. We also have to keep in mind that the University of Michigan's sentiment surveys are still probably below the level that we saw during the pandemic. So it's still, yes, it's ticked up, probably lower pump prices, but the level is still pretty dour.
Is that a leading indicator, a lagging indicator, or is that a number that is getting less and less consideration, possibly because of sampling issues, or that the respondents are allowing their politics to color their view of the economy?
Well, you're right. It is an opinion survey, generally more of a coincident indicator. But one of the things that I like to glean from surveys like that is what are consumers expecting on inflation? Because consumers are expecting lower inflation and prices to come down. And that's a good thing because generally inflation does tend to follow expectations. Someone expecting the price of a car coming down over the next 6 months, they will likely defer their purchases. That'll hurt demand near term, and then hope to buy the car later. You know, if they expected inflation to go up and prices to be up 6 months from now, then they could accelerate purchases, and that could actually hurt the inflation trend.
Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer with Crescent Capital based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a growing Chicago construction company that specializes in windows and walls. It's
your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're learning about building a business in the construction industry. We welcome in Rodrigo De Escoto, founder, president, and CEO of Reflection Window and Wall, based in Chicago. Rodrigo, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
And you started this company in 2001, but it's safe to say that construction is in your blood.
It is. Construction is in my blood, 100%.
And your father also had a long and interesting history in the building trades. At one point, the chief estimator for the Sears Tower, and we will call it the Sears Tower. What was that like just watching him growing up?
Oh, that was, I remember waking up in the morning to go to school. He was gone, and I remember getting to bed at night, and he was not home yet. So that was the early 70s when they built the Sears Tower. And he was a real trailblazer. You know, he started the Hispanic American Construction Industry Association here in Chicago, and really just was my, I wanted to be like my dad, right? He was larger than life growing up.
And before we talk about your business that you've been building for two decades, as a kid in Chicago, what was it like watching the Sears Tower take shape? Because I know you grew up in Aurora, but just seeing this building that went from a block-sized hole in the ground to a landmark that you could see from dozens of miles away, what was it like for you to see this thing take shape and know your dad was involved in it?
Oh, mate, it was super proud, right? It was almost beyond comprehension. And as you guys know, the Sears Tower, I think, held the record for about 40 years as the tallest building in the world. It was a phenomenon, right, that we had here, and he was part of it. He would tell me stories like, there's enough cable in the Sears Tower to wrap around the world, seven times. I was like always, because he'd be all the estimating. So it was just fascinating to me. And still to this day, I love estimating.
And then, what was it like for you to make the switch from a construction industry observer, someone who had been around it, to someone actually starting your own company and developing business for yourself?
Well, one thing, I didn't appreciate how hard it was when I saw my dad do it. So I wanted to be like him, and I hung a shingle outside my door and got it. They needed windows for the Chicago Public Schools that were energy efficient and Chicago Housing Authority, and that's where I cut my teeth in the beginning, and we just kind of plowed through and learned the business of facade enclosures.
And this is based in Chicago, but now there are offices in Nashville, New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and also a global presence as well. How has your base of knowledge grown and evolved along with your business?
Oh, it's the hardest thing. You have to be an expert or somewhat of an expert in every facet, whether it's thermal analysis of our facades, because we're always pushing sustainability, energy efficient solutions, beautiful glass, structurally sound, great value. These are the things that kind of drive the business. And we have a diverse supply chain, right? And we have three places around the world we can get it. We can get it from, the Middle East, from the Far East, from India, and we have a domestic facility. So we really have that diversity that's required in today's market with getting product.
Rodrigo De Escoto, founder and president and CEO of Reflection Window and Wall in Chicago. Today's Made in Chicago. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Still to come, Chicago's Michigan Avenue getting a new micro hotel.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A Netherlands-based hotel chain is coming to Chicago. Let's get the details from Danny Ecker, reporter with Crane Chicago Business. Danny, thanks for joining us today. It's called Citizen M, and this is a so-called micro hotel where the rooms just give you everything you need and not a square foot more.
Yeah, so the rooms are only 150 square feet. Just if you could picture a California king size bed that stretches from wall to wall, that's about half the size of a traditional U.S. hotel room. And it just opened or is about to open later this month in the new tower at 300 North Michigan Avenue that Sterling Bay just is completing. And it's basically a bet that people who would like to stay in a hotel room that's tiny and they don't need much out of their room. They just want to be there to sleep and go explore the city.
And this has been in place in the Netherlands, the first one at the Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam and Glasgow. It's been expanding its footprint in Europe and Asia. And what do people like about this particular concept outside of the stuff you already mentioned?
Well, I think the idea is that it's a pretty good price point, I think, for relative to other hotels that are pretty nice. I mean, I think the aspects of this hotel with the quality of the product that you're getting is pretty nice. You're just getting a lot less space. These are meant to be well located, right in the heart of areas where people want to travel. So I think that's kind of what it looks to appeal to, kind of betting that the next generation of hotel users will not care so much about a large size room. They feel like it's wasted space on them. And we'll see over time whether this is something that is a European thing or does this catch on in big cities. There have been more Citizen M's in the U.S. and there are still more to open. Will this be something that American travelers gravitate to over time?
And then do we know what type of amenities these hotels offer outside of the very tiny room in which you're going to have to do some creative maneuvering to get out of that bed if you're just going wall to wall? Do they have free breakfast or turndown service or a continental breakfast, or do you have to find that on your own in the city you're staying in?
I think it's usually the latter of those. It's usually they're saying, well, we don't need to, fill someone's room with a mini bar full of items here. They want to go outside and explore the city and they don't need this stuff in their hotel room. It's obviously for a certain type of visitor. There are other amenities, like there's, a pretty large bar and restaurant space and, a lot of actual co-working and spaces to work and an outdoor patio area. So there's a lot of amenities that'll be familiar to people at a hotel like this, but the rooms, it's just a different experience for those who are going to go looking for this type of hotel room.
And lastly, Danny, the most important question, do you still get the free USA Today?
I don't think so. I don't know. I didn't ask them, but I would think that, maybe they would offer some European news outside your door.
Danny Ecker, reporter with Crane Chicago Business. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.